I'm Jackie Pillar, neurodivergent truth bomber, bringing you Ball. Yeah, this is bullshit. This is not a podcast. This is bullshit. This is my contribution to the current world of overloading you with podcasts with something that isn't a podcast. Instead, I'd like to think this is a listicle gone very wrong. This is me unpacking regularly the 12 tools of propaganda linguistically and socially for you so you can sort through a whole lot of the current world's bull. Yeah, bullshit. So I have had an interest in propaganda and I studied sociolinguistic anthropology. So anthropology is all people in all times and in all spaces with an emphasis on contemporary modern human beings. And we do work alongside archaeologists a bit because you've got to understand the big picture. I'm an applied anthropologist. I also do comedy. So Jackie Pillar is my stage name. My professional anthropology name I do tend to keep separate. That's not because I'm being secretive. It's just because I did live and work in a small town and was almost like stepping into, you know, performance mode and then professional mode, and it helped people work with me without confusing the two. So a lot of people have stage names and nom de plumes for that reason. So not me being secretive, no propaganda to start with. Okay, what's propaganda? Propaganda is intentional deception for the purpose of a political or social or change agenda, which is intended to change behavior quickly, and it's usually highly emotional and a little bit of outrage manufacture. It's not about knowledge. People think that often confuse the two. So I, you know, had a vested interest in this all of my life, and that is probably because I am autistic. So listen no further to myths. I have a very detailed brain and a very detailed appreciation of the phenomenon of propaganda, and I did study it in my late 20s, but always came from my fascination with the Nazis as a young person, because I watched The Sound of Music, and I'd always been a bit fascinated with dark subjects. And honestly, yeah, I read every book I could get on serial killers in my teens, and yeah, people going, oh, guilty pleasures, and you know that we're, you know, but for me, I felt like I was serial killer proofing myself, quite possibly. I love true crime. Not so much now. I think as I've got older, I've gone, do feel a bit guilty about it, because there is a bit of a movement to saying, you know, we shouldn't watch these things and we shouldn't glorify them. Well, for me, it was about learning, because I didn't want to become one of their victims. Similarly with propaganda, you know, I tend to look at what comes on the TV and other places quite dispassionately and through the lens of the 12 tools of linguistics and propaganda. And, you know, sometimes this gets called the 12 tools of abuse or propaganda. So this is what I want this bullshit to be about. I want it to be about ways that we can bullshit check information we receive. And I need to say, I'm going to pick really small sound bites from around the place that seem to be classic propaganda, and I'll use them. I mean no disrespect to their speakers, or actually probably that's probably a bit of propaganda. Propaganda isn't a nice thing. You know, propaganda is not for the purposes of, you know, helping you through what is currently going on from a health perspective. It's usually pushing another agenda. And if you don't want to be manipulated by other agendas, then it's really handy to have a checklist. And I mean, look, I remember going dating and having the 18 traits of a sociopath in my handbag. Didn't help me, but anyway, I knew it. So let's start. I actually thought, I found something on Twitter, and in my Twitter is Scribe and Comic if you feel like following me. I do a bit ranty and I can be a bit out there sometimes, and some people, you know, well, okay, then scroll on by. So this is something that's been, it's had 100, at this moment as I'm looking at this on Twitter, it has 137,000 views, which I think is really interesting. And a few people are sharing it with facepalm emoticons and things like this. So let's kind of have a look at this, and we'll unpack it with the reference to the 12 tools I'd like to share throughout your understanding. Bull. Yeah, I love that sound effect. Sorry, can't help myself. So here we go. Ready? Are you strapped in?
Hello, I'm Douglas Dibney Stearns. I'm the precinct chair for the Republican Party. I'm also an election judge. Coronavirus. China virus. Tricom virus. From J. China. The chance of catching the Wuhan flu is 0.05%. It still comes out to 0.05. That's your chance of even catching this flu. What are my qualifications to talk about details? I was a data analyst for many years. Hello, I'm...
Okay, well, yeah, I want to thank Dougie Stern for educating us all and explaining this complex thing to us. He's got out of the steps of his local courthouse, I think it looks like, and he has imparted his wisdom. And, you know, more people should do this. So, first of all, I want to say, yay, Dougie. However, you're speaking utter and total bullshit and you're pushing an agenda. And you're going to say that you're not. And you're going to act wounded and defensive when people pick your argument apart. So, Dougie, I apologize. I am looking at this through some established data, seeing you're a data analyst, about what propaganda looks like. So it might actually be helpful for you next time you write another speech. Okay, so now there's 12, and I'm just going to say them first quickly, and then I might pick out ones as we go through Dougie's stairway performance. So, you know, I think it's really important to, you know, emphasize that a lot of these things appear to be about removing fear, but they actually aim to create fear in order to remove fear.
I sense much fear in you.
Thanks, Yoda. So it sounds like they're authoritative and they're trying to calm you down, but they're not. So the first thing is ad hominem. And that is an attack on people or culture or other people in order to make your point. Now, people might argue that I'm doing this to Dougie. Well, yeah, I kind of am. So, you know, hey, there we go. But let's face it. Sometimes you have to really demonstrate what it is you're talking about in order to show and tell. So one, ad hominem. Let's just say personal attacks because I'm shit at pronouncing ad hominem. Two, glittering generalizations. Three, the big lie. Four, intentional vagueness. We will go through these in a minute. Five, exaggerating. Six, minimizing. Seven, false equivalence. Eight, something called a gish gallop. Nine, lesser of two evils. 10, repetition just over and over again. 11, scapegoating. And 12, projection. So they are the things, and they're usually wrapped up and woven in and out so that they will overlap and cross over. But if we just start with the very first 7 seconds of Doug's, and let's just start with the first 7 seconds.
Douglas Stephen Stearns, I'm the precinct chair for the Republican Party. I'm also an election judge.
I'm Douglas D.B. Stearns. I'm a precinct chair for the Republican Party. Well, okay, so my critical literacy brain goes, so glittering generalizations. Let's go there. This is number two on my list. So glittering generalization. I'm a precinct chair. So I had to look up what a precinct chair is because it sounds so impressive. And it almost sounds like it's some kind of judge. And then there's, you know, an election judge and other language he uses. And your mind just goes, oh, you know, that sounds good. He's the dude in Australia that when we have a vote that goes out and knocks on doors for a party. They are for a Republican Party. They are not for the whole election. They're not some impartial, neutral person at all. These precinct chairs are elected by a political party to convince you to vote for the Republican Party, as he puts. So when you hear this glittering generalization, you go, oh, you know, this sounds like he could be quite neutral and authoritarian. And actually, that's not the case. So in that, you know, so if we look at that one, the other thing is he's intentionally vague. You know, he's shoved a whole of those things together. And he's assuming that you should know what they mean. And, you know, someone like me in Australia doesn't have a clue. And I'm sure there's a lot of people all over the world doesn't have a clue. It also exaggerates what those roles do because it's rattled off really quickly, which brings me to gish gallop, which you heard me mention at number eight before. So it's like, blah, 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 blah. And it's really interesting because in effect, the way that I will tell you how to look for propaganda still follows the same formulas. But it's like that whole thing, you know, you can use everything for good or you can use everything to be funky and deceptive, I suppose, from that expect. But, you know, he's a star. He has establishing, he's trying to establish himself as partial, neutral, and expert. So that's immediately also the emphasis on, you know, Douglas D.B. Stern. There's a status in the whole, he's framed the whole thing in terms of status. You know, it's exaggerating. It's a glittering generalization. It's intentionally vague. And that's just at the outset. So I'll put with this podcast the 12 things that I'm going to talk to each week. Because they don't come out in the order that they are, but this is what usually happens. Okay, so let's go. Whew, deep breath, deep breath. Are we ready? I don't know that I am.
A Jedi must have the deepest commitment.
Okay.
The most serious mind.
Thanks, Yoda. We'll get there.
Coronavirus. China virus. Tricom virus. From China.
Whoa, okay. So then we start to get into the ad hominem attack. Now, it doesn't sound like he's not certainly saying the Chinese people directly are responsible for this. But there's a couple of other things going on in here that are a bit more subtle. You know, he uses a Gish Gallop, which is, again, number 8. So he lists, you know, 4 or 5 names for the virus. They're all derogatory names. It doesn't say coronavirus, COVID-19. He uses all of the derogatory terms that link it directly to China. So direct it to a particular, and he uses a mock Chinese ding, 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 ding kind of accent, which is really gross. And to do that, so, you know, it's, he, you know, conflates things, throw things together. So, you know, again, it's a Gish Gallop and it's repetition. Okay, so he's repeating that same message. This is 35 seconds of him. I'm pretty sure he went on for much longer. So he's scapegoating too, 11, you know, it's like China, Qitong. I don't even know the bloody list. It just makes me cringe. And the fact is he uses his mock Chinese accent when I doubt that he could actually pronounce the tonal language that is Mandarin or Cantonese. They are both very quite complex languages. So he's minimizing too, you know, he's minimizing a culture and through an ad hominem attack. So if I go through those 12 things again, ad hominem, glittering generalization, big lies, intentional vagueness, exaggerating, minimizing, false equivalence, Gish Gallop, lesser of two evils, repetition, scapegoating, and projection. So projection is like you too should feel like this, you know. So, but one thing I wanted to touch on quickly before we go further is false equivalence. So false equivalence is when you say, it's like saying, okay, kangaroos and horses are both mammals. How come horses don't hop? And they really are the same thing. They're not. You know, it's a ridiculous notion. It's comparing apples and oranges, other people call it. But, and you know, one point he says, and we'll get there. Okay, breathe again. Ah, sorry. You know, I just feel a bit like Spock.
May I say that I have not thoroughly enjoyed serving with humans. I find their illogic and foolish emotions a constant irritant.
The chance of catching the Wuhan flu is 0.05%. It still comes out to 0.05. That's your chance of even catching this flu.
Okay. So there's two things there. And so he's minimizing the impact of COVID-19. He's calling it Wuhan flu. So Wuhan flu is the false equivalence. He is equating COVID, which is a novel virus, which has not existed before, to a flu, which we've been dealing with for humanity for a long time. He's again minimizing false equivalence, flu and virus, novel virus and a flu is a big false equivalent. And, you know, he's exaggerating the meaning of what he's saying. You know, it's still 0.05. This is your chance of actually catching this flu. There's repetition all the way through this. There's reference to calling it the wrong name and the false equivalence all the way through. And, you know, and it's also like the lesser of two evils, trying to, this is where you say, oh, this is where you say to your person, oh, you know, you got hit by a car, you could have been hit by a bus. You know, it's really not helpful. And it's shit. And to be honest, it's a bit. It's a bit fucking boring. Do you think you can think of something else? So, scapegoating again, you know, your chances of getting this is 0.05%. So, this is, you know, really minimizing the chances of getting this. And it's a bit like people who say that it's only, you know, I'll just get my calculator out here, it's only 2% fatality rate. And then they don't actually look at what those numbers look like. So, in Australia, if we go 28 million and we go by 2%, that's 560,000 people. That's 500,000 people. And this is where people say it's only, or it only affects older people. And that's, you know, it's just like minimizing the value of particular life and you know, comparing lesser evils, you know. Okay, your chance of getting it. He's not saying you're going to die from it. It's a less, you'll only get it. So it's a lesser of two evils. So, you know, he's exaggerating this 0.05 figure in reverse. It's like, okay, it's only 0.05 or whatever it is percent chance of getting it. But you know, look at, so yes, back to Doug. Okay, so now he's regaled us with this. So we start, you notice he starts with his authoritarian position, who he is, what he does, very vague, not really a lot of information. By the way, he doesn't have a LinkedIn profile, he doesn't have a public profile that puts out research or opinion or policy. He's far from an expert. So let's go. Let's see how he says he's qualified.
What are my qualifications? Talk about details. I was a data analyst for many years.
Okay, I was a data analyst for many years. Well, that's really cool. But what did you analyze? So if we go to here, our glittering generalizations again, what did he analyze? Because he could have analyzed traffic, cars going down a street, for all I know. But the fact is, a 0.05, this virus is not fixed in time. The data that he would be looking at would be at a given point in time. So for someone who's a data analyst, you'd think he would be able to get his head around exponential growth. So the fact is that that 0.05% chance, is that now? Is that last week? Is that compared to other countries? What does this data mean? You've just glossed over the top of it. Complete generalization. It's also a whopping big lie. Because you can't distill down the complex transmission of a disease like coronavirus, which we're still figuring out. We've never experienced this particular viral form before, into one stat. And this is where we used to say damn lies and statistics. It is propaganda 101 to hang on to one stat and keep pushing one stat with no context. And then to run people down for having any view other than that, you know, like this is your chances of getting it, minimizing huge generalizations. A big lie in there, you know, that you've got only 0.05% of what? I don't get it, you know. You know, we're all supposed to run around going, it's okay, I've only got 0.05% of a chance. I can risk that. You know, compare it to, I mean, I say to people, you know, 26 people died in 2014 in Australia falling off a chair. So should you sit on a chair? That's a 0.05% argument. But you know, the fact is you know how the conditions of falling off a chair would happen. The chair leg could be broken. You could be drunk. I don't know. It's a lot more simple than something that is new. And this is why it needs to be important that we call it novel coronavirus or novel COVID, because that is repetition that is helpful. He does repeat certain themes all the way through it. The false equivalence again, remembering, you know, that's comparing things that seem to be remotely similar when you can't compare them. So calling it a flu. That's a lie. It's not a flu. It's also an exaggeration. He's also minimizing the actual appearance of what it is. And he gives very shorthand arguments, which again was this thing we called it a gish gallop. So there are your, there's a nice one. Thank you, Dougie. If you would like to send me something that is less than a minute for me to watch from anything in the world at the moment, and let me apply the propaganda test to it. But so yeah, thank you, Dougie. Much appreciated. You have reminded me of the of propaganda in 35 seconds or less. That's pretty impressive. It's a nice compact soundbite. So if you'd like to send me another one for less than a minute, you can do so at info@ginandtitters, as in the drink and the laughter. No other references. Gin and Titters, GINAND, T for Tom, IT for Tom, ERS.com.com. So send me a request for and send me a link to a soundbite, which is less than a minute, and I will do a deconstruct on the 12 tools of propaganda, maybe throw the odd sound effect in, and if no one sends me any, this will be the first and last one I ever do. So, one, let's go through those 12 things again. Ad hominem, personal attacks or attacks at other cultures. Constantly calling this the Wuhan flu, the China Tom flu, or whatever. It was really rather gross. Glittering generalizations, usually about themselves or their qualifications or the issues at hand. Big lies, like, you know, you've only got point. Calling it a flu is a fucking lie, people. So, you know, it's like, it's a distortion at the minimum. Intentional vagueness. I'm this, I'm that. I was a data analyst. You know, well, data analysts, yeah, they could actually be analyzing stocks and shares. You know, you can't, unless he can tell you where he's worked as, you know, I worked with the Ebola outbreaks and this and this and this. I mean, he could do that just in a short amount of time. He could describe the kinds of data that he's analyzed. So intentionally vague, exaggerating. I'm a data analyst. That means that I know how to do stats. Minimizing the seriousness of the disease. False equivalence, comparing it to a flu. Gish Gallop starts off by giving it all, you know, big noting how many names for it he can use. Uses all derogatory names. So yeah, when I get accused of bias, you know, propaganda, what I'm unpacking is negative. I'm looking for negative things. So if it's propaganda, but it ain't got a negative tone, or it is aimed at getting people to be positive in the way they act and behave, then I'm not going to find it much as interesting. I want you to be able to, because it won't be bullshit. You know, this is called bullshit for a reason. Gish Gallop's lesser of two evils, you know, again, comparing it to a flu and comparing, you know, to how many people are dying and how many people are rates of catching it, minimizing it. Repetition, you know, same old, same old. Scapegoating, you know, again, calling it by its place of origin, those sort of things. Projection, because it's really interesting. We didn't really get to this, but he's projecting his ideas onto you. You know, I'm a data analyst. My ideas are more important than your fears. So 0.05, folks, you know, project. So yeah, there we go. There you have it. That was the first episode of Bullshit. Let's do this again. Bull. And I hope that the more you get your head around, the more repetitive I am of the repetition of the 12 tools of propaganda or abuse or whatever you want to call them, that you'll be able to make decisions about what you do with the things that you get off the net. Unpack them critically so that you can decide if you need to flush them. And P.S. This is not a podcast.